From the Gospel according to John. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. It is really such a simple scripture. It is very familiar. To love one another as I have loved you. We hear it many different ways throughout the church year. It is written in many different ways in scripture. And if you do this, Jesus says, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you show how much you love one another. In the Gospel of John, this text comes at the end of Jesus' life. He is at the Passover meal. He is in the upper room, and he is giving a commandment to those who have followed him for many years. He is with his friends. The people are gathered around him that night were people he was the closest to. He had a relationship with every single one of them. He knew them the best. They were the people who were his spiritual partners throughout his ministry. I believe it would be incomplete if we assumed that Jesus did not need these people, that he never learned anything from them, that he did not have moments when he said to one of them, I am afraid, or I don't know what to do next. His friends. And Peter or one of the others might have said, it will be all right. You are on the right path. These were his friends. To be in relationship is hard. All of us need relationships of some kind. Some of us need them more than others. Some of us are more introverted than extroverted. But as different as we are as people, people are a necessity in some way or another. We always need people, and it's not always easy. The best people in our lives are the people who provide a grounding for us. Those that are willing to travel with us, regardless of where the journey takes us, there they are. They never waver. We move towards God, and they're right there by our sides. The card that was sent out this week, and it is in the pews if you did not receive one, asked you to think about the people in your church who have helped transform your spiritual life. Who has made a difference? Or another way of saying it is, who has helped you know God? I think the question probably could have been broader. Who in your whole life has made a difference in your spiritual life? Sometimes the people who have influenced us the most are outside the church. Or maybe it was someone growing up or in a former church that you can still remember how they helped your spiritual life. Who has loved you the way God loves you? Might be another way of asking the question. We heard Michael and Christina and Simon say that for as long as they can remember, Michael, the people in this church have been a part of his life. And Christina came from a very different tradition, Catholic in Costa Rica, and has come here and found solace and community because all of you have loved her, and I promise you she has loved you all back. It is her gift. There have been people throughout all of our lives that we can stop and say, I remember that person for a moment. I have a pastor. He came to visit here a few months ago. He is long retired, Bob Stanley. But he was the one who sat with me as I sat in his office in San Diego and cried and said, I feel like I'm called to something, but I can't figure it out. What the heck? You know, and he just sat there calmly grounded, saying, well, let's figure it out. And when he left the church to retire, someone walked up to me on the patio and said, Bob Stanley has asked me to keep an eye on you as you journey towards God. So even in his absence, he had thought of me. There are people like Pastor Carey, who is my alter ego, who grounds me and is spiritual. And when I get all crazed and it all goes up here and it starts spinning out of control and I can't stop talking, she just sits there quietly, takes a deep breath, and says, "What about this, Pastor Betty?" And then there's Lance, and there's my yayas, who are all grounded their lives in Christ and who not only help me, but allow me to help them. They don't just nurture me. They are recipients as I am with them, their spiritual partners. Because it is a relationship that's mutual. And that's some of the things that I like us to think about. These are the people that, when you look around, describe their lives as blessings. They don't use the word luck or happy as much as they word blessed and grateful. Everything in their lives comes through a spiritual lens. And they're mutual. They love you for who you are. They're respectful. They help you discern who you are. There have also been people in my life and in your lives who have not helped us, who have hurt us. I had one person as I was going off to seminary say, "Oh, you're way too worldly to be a minister." And though he was right, I went anyway, because I needed to be near Christ's people to not be so worldly. So there have been people in our lives who help us discern this. Who are you? What are you called to do? What are the people around you saying to you? The people you trust the most? The people who have blessed you the most? It seems to me, though, that every blessing has some kind of cost. Now, that might be counterintuitive to Paul saying, we don't need works, we have grace. I agree with that, too. But I do think that every relationship has some kind of cost if we are to love one another as Christ first loved us. But then the question becomes, what exactly does that mean? Is that an unconditional love? I wish. I don't think in the human dilemma there is any such thing as unconditional love. I think we try. Our love for our children comes pretty close. But don't we still have some expectations? Aren't there some things we want them to do well and do right? I mean, unconditional, I guess, doesn't mean without rules. But I just wonder about what it means when we hear Jesus say, "I have a new commandment." He says to the disciples to love one another. We have to ask ourselves the question, what does that look like as far as he's concerned? In all four of the Gospels, Jesus loves his disciples. And he is frustrated with them. And he is at times angry with them. And he is even hurt by them. Their inability to get what he is saying. But he doesn't waver. The same people who were with him in the beginning are with him in the end. His love and his care for them never wavers. Not falters for one second. He, no matter what they do, he continues to teach them and keep them close to him throughout his life. And I don't know about you, but I find great comfort in this knowledge when I read those words that they were all with him there, because there are times when I am Peter and I deny him, and there are times when I am Thomas and I doubt him. And there's times I'm like James and John and I want to be first. Hey, if there's a place in heaven with a seat, I want the best seat. And sometimes Judas. Do you identify with any of the disciples? The thing is, Jesus loved them all. As I said, the command to love one another as he first loves us comes at the end of the Gospel of John. And it comes right after an act of love and humility. Does anyone know what this act of love and humility is in the Gospel of John? I will read it to you. Oh, Marian knows. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus answered, "You do not know what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter says to him, "You will never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." So Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another. Do all blessings have a cost? Jesus' blessings don't have a cost. They have an invitation. To follow Christ in all things is always an invitation. It is the relationship of all relationships. To offer and receive such blessings from Christ that we might offer them to one another. The church, brother and sister, is imperfect. It has many things in its past to which we feel shame. But it is a place where we are intentional about loving one another. It is a place where we learn to follow the words of Christ, to take them seriously even when they frighten us. Foot washing is such a personal act of humility. I wonder how many of us would come the night that we said we were going to do it. The standard for love that Jesus set was very high. It is true. Because he said, love one another as. This is the one word you have to take. You can forget everything else I say. As I have loved you. I believe with all my heart that the church is the one place that helps us live this way and love this way. There are social aspects to be sure, but it is not a social club. It is a place of sacred gathering. It is a place that heals us and guides us. It is a community of believers that, as imperfect and flawed, is still incredibly wonderful. It's where we find spiritual guides for our complicated lives, where we can find a place for our children to learn a word of hope for their lives and experience love in ways that they will not experience anywhere else. And so when they grow and they are no longer in your care, they will stop and they will remember this place, and they will find this place wherever they are. With all its imperfections, there is nothing like it. If there were, I would have been gone long ago. I am in such tension with the church half the time. Not half the time. 10% of the time. The other 90% of the time, I know exactly why I'm here. The Spirit of God is here, every moment helping us to go into the world to be better, more loving people. God calls us through Jesus Christ with a new commandment to love one another as God loves us. And this is how the world will know we are Christ's disciples. Not by anything that we can do to go and convert somebody, but to love them where they are, the way they need to be loved, as God has loved us. I think, brothers and sisters, that we should pause every day and be grateful for the spiritual blessing of all the people that we meet and for our church, Christ's holy church, the body of Christ, where the blessing is great and the only cost is an invitation to the sacred and to the holy, a life of forgiveness and compassion and mercy. Freely, freely you have received. Freely, freely give. Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know that I live. Amen.